Support for Almost Entirely Sports is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Here's what we can do for you. We have an exclusive offer for listeners to Almost Entirely Sports. It's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALMOST on any order at manscaped.com. That's an incredible deal for an incredible product. Listen, over the course of our future, maybe we'll get into more or less detail whenever talking about our experience with Manscaped, but I can tell you firsthand, they hooked us up. They sent out a box for me and Beards and Rudy, and apparently Beards this whole time was a Manscaped user and never told us, which has just really brought on more questions than answers at this point. But I have now used the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, and everything in their Perfect Package 3.0 is absolutely unbelievable. Everything the ads say have been 100% true. It truly is a best-in-class grooming experience. Plus, if you do go get their Perfect Package, they'll also give you a pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that are incredible and will keep everything feeling fresh all day long, and a travel shed bag to put all your grooming goodies inside of. Also, the bag is incredible. I promise you, this is something that all of us were so excited to get and have been so impressed by whenever we did the unboxing on the show, whenever it got here to the station. Everybody at Manscaped has been great. The product is impeccable, and I'm really, really excited about being able to bring you a deal for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. You can support the show and get a great product from Manscaped, really supporting yourself, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of double entendres throughout this read. I don't know if you caught that or not. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ALMOST. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Isn't this a sports show?
Read it one more time.
Let me click on it so I can get the full thing.
Yeah, what's the product description?
Okay, here we go. Push Pops Bubble Fidget Sensory Toys. Oh, well, come on. Okay, here we go. Start over.
Yeah, one breath, please. One breath.
Almost entirely.
Push Pops Bubble Fidget Sensory Toys. Funny Relief Stress Desktop Game Soft Squeeze Toy Logical Reasoning Training Toys for Adults Children Among Us Blue.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Here we go. Sweetum Signatures, Magnetic Fingering, Magnetic Ring Fidget Spinner, Toy Upgraded Hand Spinner for Stress Relief, Christmas and Birthday Gift for Kids, Friends, and Family.
Magnetic what?
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
For $50, you can get a Dinosaur Electric Train Set with remote control, smoke, LED light, sound, Dinosaur World, playset, Dinosaur Track.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
We did it! We made it to Friday. Thanks for wrapping up your week with us here on Almost Entirely Sports. And we made it through a midweek stretch without Beards McFly.
Never heard of him.
He's gotten moved into a new place. He's gotten... Go ahead and just jam that cover on there.
I realized I didn't have one on. I was like, maybe I'll hold the cop button. Then I realized, no, I need both hands. So I was like, here we go.
To put on a mic cover, just to be clear, because that was never explicitly said, and I imagine that audio will not be forgiving. It's really rare of us to have one of those moments within the intro music still happening in the background, but...
Cover for your mic.
A mic cover. A foam cover for the microphone is what we were talking about there. We'll see how that sounds in retrospect. But Beards is back. Beards has a new home. He has a COVID shot. This show is now, quick math. Let's see. So altogether, we would really have 6 doses that we need. We've got 4 out of 6.
Two-thirds vaccinated show.
Two-thirds. Is that? Yeah. You can simplify the fraction. You can divide both of those by 2, makes it 2/3, which is approximately 66.6% repeating.
Math!
Shout out Larry Johnson one time.
I was weirdly a good math boy.
You know, I
like math.
I'm
good with.
Is
four.
This show decent at math?
So I was always good at math because
what a
like
stunner.
Math is like there's not a lot of, I guess, like, essentially creative thing, right? Like, there's a formula. You memorize the formula. You place the numbers into the formula. That's where my strengths come out.
If you guys get the so this might not work for your favor.
Like, for you, it was you, English, you killed.
Yeah.
Creative writing. Beard's, yeah, obviously history was probably his best slash favorite.
Lunch and then history.
Yeah.
I need
pretty
to have
good at PE. I did weight training for like 3 years.
If you guys get your second shots here, if you hurry up and get this done, the specific
second one?
Didn't
tell me that.
The specific niche of math that I have found myself to be better than most people at comes out in a mini game from Jackbox's Trivia Murder Party 2, where there's a mini game where if you get the trivia wrong, which I do all the time. I'm not very good at trivia. Whenever I get the trivia wrong, sometimes you have to go to, like, stay alive in the game. You've got to do these rapid fire simple math questions where you get four options and you click the right answer. So it's just, it might just be 3 minus 7. You got to find negative 4 and hit that, but 4 will also be there. There's 7 plus 2. All right, 9. 14 minus 3. All right, 11. So, and as you rat-a-tat-tat through that, if you get one wrong, it freezes you for a second. And I almost always win that particular mini game. Yeah, it gives you a good reason to not lose.
Good point.
For some reason, that particular mini game makes me feel like a very good math wizard, even though that's never been my particular aptitude. So if you guys get your vaccine, your second round of vaccine soon, have you guys over finally, because the pandemic is, at least we're getting our superpowers, our anti-pandemic superpowers. We can play some Jackbox, and I can show you guys how good at math I am in one very specific example.
That'd be fun. I've found myself to be, I always feel like I do better in trivia than I think I'm going to do, but I don't know if I would say I'm good at trivia. What I am very good at is the games where, like, basically, you have a phrase and you're giving me clues on what the phrase is, or words, right? And, like, I am weirdly really good at those games.
We have to play Blather Round. This also may eventually be a stream thing that we do, because we could play this over Discord pretty easily and then stream it on Twitch. Which, just as soon as we all have like a day that none of us are working,
I got a good setup now.
2028.
I've almost got my setup.
Yeah, so it's probably not going to be this weekend.
Functioning internet.
But maybe next weekend. Maybe next weekend we can shoot for a little Discord, a little AES crew. We could stream it. People can join the audience and everything. There's a game in I think the newest Jackbox suite or whatever, called Blather Around, where you get a person, place, or phrase or whatever, and then it has these little mechanisms that let you build out hints, and it is such a good game.
I'm just going to put this out there. I am likely going to be house/dog-sitting next weekend. But the weekend after that,
the dog can play.
Well,
dog can play.
My dad doesn't have internet at his house. As wild as that is, as that is. Yeah, it's the year 2021. My father does not have Wi-Fi. He watches Netflix shows by buying the DVD sets on Walmart, which you can do apparently.
Oh yeah, you can. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I told my dad, like, Dad, you can't buy
so Netflix these shows. Originals.
Yeah, like Netflix originals. They do sell them on DVD. I told my dad, like, Dad, I don't think you can, like, I've seen
House of Cards like that.
Yeah, I don't remember what the show was now, but I was like, Dad, I don't think you can do that. It's a Netflix show. Oh, it was Narcos, because I was telling my dad how great Narcos was. Like, yeah, you'd love it, because we both like love any show really about Pablo Escobar. Like, it's a fascinating individual for many reasons.
One of your big role models,
yeah, exactly.
As you told me in private many times.
I mean, hey, he did a lot for the community in Colombia. Some good, some bad. You know, who's to say if it evens itself out or not?
So I just saw the dumbest bleep I've ever seen, and I just heard Rudy say that sentence.
Wait, so am I the...
No, dumber. Okay. Dumber. Woo. Dumber.
Woo. Here's the thing. I know I'm going to say dumb things. I just never want to be the dumbest thing.
I've got a very serious Chiefs draft Brett Veach thing that we'll get to probably. We'll probably have a little quick segment here. We'll probably get way into that mess here in a minute, because I actually think it's really interesting. And there's, believe it or not, guys, there's audio that we haven't played yet this week that I intended on playing on Monday.
Doesn't when I was like still us. Here?
Yes, correct.
You haven't gotten any of it?
Rudy couldn't find the folder.
Yeah. You put it somewhere, Beards.
I password protected it for Beards, and only Beards knew the password.
Yeah.
It was just chicken. You should have known. When I told you I was password protecting it for Beards, you could have just typed the word chicken.
I did. I put C-H-C-H-C-K-E-N. I put Canes.
Just go ahead
and
just fade out his mic, Beards, as you see necessary. It's good to have you back. So there is an upcoming boxing match.
Oh boy.
Between Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather.
Yes.
Now, I wanted to talk about the whole Triller Jake Paul versus oh my god, who did he fight?
The Oklahoma or the Mizzou wrestler.
Askren, Ben Askren.
Ben Askren.
So he knocked him on his Ben Askren. And it was all really, it was not fun. Like, the actual fight was not good, but the experience was something that I personally, it very much fits my brand. Mm-hmm. You have Pete Davidson and Snoop Dogg literally rolling up a J real quick while doing color commentary for a fight that they don't really know anything about. Yes! Yeah. More of that in my veins! Please! I love that that is an option that the world is going to have forevermore. For any event, if you say, hey, what do we want to do for this? If you now have the choice to say, what about Pete Davidson and Snoop Dogg?
Mm-hmm.
I'll sign up for that. Well, I will take that.
Is he going to bring his acrobatic dancers or not? Because then yes. We got problems.
Yes.
What about the money gun?
Bring the money gun.
I don't know.
Bring it all. I want all of it.
Jeff Long should apologize for that.
I want Jeff Long there, too. Bring everybody. Everybody's welcome.
Jeff Long should apologize for the fight.
There was a Justin Bieber concert just sort of happening. There were undercards and all of that. And I'm certainly no combat sports purist. And so if you are one listening right now, just know this. We are talking about these things in very different ways.
Yep.
If you love the technical aspect of boxing and MMA and everything, that's totally cool with me.
Yeah, totally.
It's just not what I'm necessarily that stoked for.
Nope.
The fights that I remember watching, I watched Fury Wilder back, I don't know, was that towards the beginning of the pandemic, I think? It was one of the first sports things.
It was one of the last things before everything shut down, because remember how basically it was it Fury who licked Wilder's blood? And then we were like, oh,
yes.
Wait a second. Maybe you shouldn't have done that because of, COVID.
Yes.
So that was
right around that range.
Oh, I would say it was just over a year ago.
That was a big spectacle between two heavy dudes.
Yeah,
so that was I was kind
boys.
Of interested in. And I remember watching Mayweather and McGregor because it was just a spectacle.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Fury Wilder, we're getting round two.
I think I saw that actually. I might tune in for that. But for me, generally speaking, I was actually answering this question to Blake Schneiders. You can hear hosting Baseball Tonight on Sunday, right here on 810, and runs a bunch of the weekend programming on the other side of the glass. I think he had asked essentially, like, will you watch, it was Askren Paul, will you watch X, Y, or Z, or what will it take to get you to watch a combat sport thing? And generally speaking for me, I will tune in if Twitter is watching.
Yeah.
Which is not the case for, and I'll watch anything NFL football, but most of the time my Twitter timeline, because of the way that I've curated it, it is watching football.
Mm-hmm.
And because I love professional football. Certainly, obviously, Chiefs specifically, but really the NFL, generally speaking. But beyond that, I like spectacle a similar amount to how much I like sports. And part of that is because they intertwine so much. You know, I never really had a legit rooting interest in March Madness. I haven't had a real rooting interest in March Madness other than maybe a couple times that I've been rooting for Wichita State, I guess. But outside of that, I'm not there for my team. I'm there because I like basketball, mm-hmm. and because I love a spectacle where everyone's invested. Everybody fills out a bracket. It's great. And then my little sister beats Beards, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
I forgot about that.
I will never let you forget about it. Beards lost to a stuffed dog, an improv character, and my 11-year-old sister.
It was not a good year this
who
year.
Who is now 12.
It was a good rebound year for me, because the year prior I lost to your sister. And then this year I killed it.
Yeah.
It was good this year.
But the reason that so much of sports are so fun to me is because of the spectacle. I don't really watch, like, high school sports to fill the void, or if you've got like a late night, Pac-12 game. If it's football, I might be watching. If it's basketball, I'm just probably doing something else. And honestly, if my Twitter is mostly tweeting about The Bachelor, I'm going to be very tempted. I have not ever actually watched The Bachelor. That has not quite gotten me in. But I want to follow the spectacle, generally speaking.
Yeah.
And so whenever combat sports end up being sort of the surface for the foundation for a spectacle to be built atop, that's what gets me interested because I don't really understand or love the technical aspect of all of these things. It's just never been my lane. And that's fine. But so that was basically all the things I wanted to say around the Askren-Jake Paul fight. But now the next one that they're working on is Logan Paul, who does not seem to be in any regard the boxer that his brother is.
No.
I think Logan Paul lost to KSI. Will you look that up? Maybe he beat
that
KSI.
That sounds right.
They did fight.
One
did
Paul fight brother KSI. Fought KSI, who's essentially a YouTuber.
He did. They fought twice. I actually think Logan Paul might have won both of them.
Maybe he won. I don't know. Here's what Logan Paul's not. A professional boxer.
Very true.
Jake Paul seems to be close. It doesn't seem like Logan Paul is. Whatever. Fine. Also, just a quick catch up, both of these dudes are huge dorks who are incredibly popular on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
For all intents and purposes, they seem to predominantly be terrible, do terrible things. All right, cool. Well, now, Logan Paul is going to fight famous, terrible doer, Floyd Mayweather, who's also a professional boxer, while on the side being a terrible person, as far as we can tell. Boxing! So, the thing that happened this week... Again, something that happened multiple days ago that I'm catching you up on because one thing is new in this story. It's nothing so far. So there's a little skirmish around Jake Paul, who is not fighting Floyd Mayweather, and Floyd Mayweather. And if it's not literally staged, it's all for a little more conversation. We're biting into it right now, unfortunately. But Jake Paul, and he was always planning on doing this. There was even like a video that he put out of him saying he's going to do this. He gets close to Floyd Mayweather, and then like a child on a playground, like a bad bully. He's not good at bullying. He's just maybe bigger than the other kid, but he's really like you can tell this is a fragile bully. He grabs Floyd Mayweather's hat and says, "Gotcha hat," and runs away. Now, if a child did this, I would say, you dumb mother bleeper. That's not anything. This is nothing. Taking someone's hat as a taunt is something that not even a child should be doing because it's so shallow, so stupid, and so nothing. But that's what Jake Paul did to Floyd Mayweather. He's insisting now that it's not staged. That's all fine. Logan Paul said... it was very real, quote, "That bleep is not funny." Okay, Logan, you're right, it wasn't funny. It also wasn't serious or dangerous. And then here's the thing that Jake Paul has done now. This is the new thing that I just saw just now. It was posted up on TMZ earlier today. Jake Paul has gotten a tattoo of a hat. Underneath the hat, it says the phrase, "Gotcha hat."
That's where that's from.
It's not a very well done tattoo. I'm all about get your weird random tattoos. Mm-hmm. I am not the person to be passing judgment on this. I have a tattoo of a quarter. This is true.
And a pine cone on fire.
Like a design in mind. I got a tattoo of a quarter with a little wreath around it on my 25th birthday because I thought it was kind of funny and I liked it. And I still like it. I have absolutely zero regrets in that regard.
You'll live to be 25.
I made it to 25, and then however old I get, that will be exactly negative 25 years, you know, removed. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny.
So are you going to get a 50-cent piece?
Oh, most likely.
What about a 75-cent piece?
That doesn't exist.
Okay.
If I'm here at 50 beards, I'm going to get a tattoo of 50 Cent. That's actually my plan.
That's even better.
So I am not going to judge good or bad. That's not true. I'm not going to judge the motive of tattoos or whatever. If you get it and you like it, I think that's great. You should ideally go to an artist that can get the lines on your lettering right if you have Jake Paul money. And even if you don't, you should still be able to find that guy or gal, that artist. But this does not, this is nothing. This does not qualify for anything. This is the dumbest tattoo I've ever seen from a fake bull bleep nonsense interaction to promote a fight that at this point, hopefully, ends in Floyd Mayweather leaving Logan Paul on the ground. And do you know how unlikable you have to be for Floyd Mayweather to not be the heel in your fight?
Yep.
This dude also sucks.
By the way, KSI versus Logan Paul 1 was a 6-round majority draw. So I guess
shocking.
Nobody won.
Yeah, including
and,
the viewers.
KSI versus Logan Paul 2, KSI defeated Paul by split decision.
Say me that again. I got distracted by looking at a picture of Logan of Jake Paul.
KSI defeated Paul by split decision, which means basically two people thought KSI won and one person thought Logan Paul won. The thing that I find is interesting, I didn't know what a 6-round majority draw is, but it's basically when two of the judges think nobody won.
Which I think is probably accurate. Again, yeah. I think that
nobody won.
Truly nobody won there.
Yeah. Jake Paul, or Logan Paul is bigger than Floyd. Floyd also has been boxing at a high level for a long time.
It's just, again, to the idea that you could find any two people on planet Earth, one of them is Floyd Mayweather, and the other person has to be someone less likable than Floyd Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there are two Paul brothers who would both do that for you is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. But that's also, we're talking about it. And if this was Floyd Mayweather versus just some good boxer in his weight class, I wouldn't be talking about it. Because I'm a slave to the spectacle.
Yep.
I'm just here for the spectacle. I can't help it.
Nothing
probably could.
It. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think that if you end up financially supporting Floyd Mayweather and the Paul brothers, there is something wrong with it.
Probably, yeah.
But I'm not perfect, you know? Yeah. It's just so absurd. The gotcha hat tattoo really got me. I don't know. I just... The font is even bad. It's just all bad.
Did you know about a year ago, Jake Paul released a single called Fresh Out of London?
That's not surprising.
There's also a music video.
There is a famous Team 10 music video. I think it's both Paul brothers. Maybe it's just Jake. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Called It's Everyday Bro. That is one of the most viral songs ever on YouTube. And it's truly... really awful to listen to. It's just a very terrible song.
Mm-hmm.
But most famously, there is a verse from a British member of Team 10, which is their group or whatever. Former member. Does Team 10 still exist? I don't know. I'm more educated on YouTube culture than most people, but not enough to keep up with it because I don't hate myself like that. But this British member of their squad has a verse that includes the phrase, "Yeah, London is my city," and
do they say anything else there, or is that the whole verse?
Well, no, I mean that's probably the whole verse. Let me get you the full. God, the whole thing is so bad. I'm sorry, I bleeped up. I gave him too much credit. I do apologize. I screwed up I wondered why the punchline didn't land with you guys, and then I realized, wait a second, what did I say? I'm sorry. I'd like to credit the poet, really, Nick Crompton.
Ah.
So, here, I'm sorry.
Crompy.
Here's what Crompy had to say. I'm really upset that I bleeped up the punchline on this one. This one's gonna stick with me through the weekend. You know it's Nick Crompton, and my collar stay poppin'. Yes, I can rap. He can't. And no, I am not from Compton. He's not. England is my city. And if it weren't for Team 10, then the U.S. would be bleepy. I'll pass it to Chance, because you know he stay litty. The phrase that I screwed up on my delivery, which makes me really as bad as all of them, was England is my city. I fixed it on my recital of it subconsciously and didn't realize that I was actually the one making it worse. England is not a city. London would be a city. London.
In Canada.
England. England is my city. So that currently, so England, essentially, England is my city. He could have said London is my city. It would have changed nothing. Mm-hmm. He could have just said London or any city. That's not a country. He could have said the European Union is my city, and it would have made as much sense. Yeah, I do see here Fresh Out of London by Jake Paul. I will not be listening to this now or ever.
I hear it's hot.
You've heard wrong. I do hate that this is all only made them both more mainstream and we're all falling for it. I mean, we're all falling for it.
How about all that draft audio you've got over here, Josh?
It's just, we've just walked right into their trap and I hate it.
Sometimes you have to walk into the trap to get them.
Yeah, I could. Rudy.
Sometimes you got to get caught to catch.
What?
I don't know.
Sometimes you have to take a break to break Rudy through the glass that's breaking because you're throwing him off the balcony.
Aim for the tree.
He could make it.
I could get the tree.
We'll take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about literally anything that's not Paul Brothers related. In all likelihood, it will be, maybe, fingers crossed, knock on wood, NFL draft audio that we're going to get to later.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I'll stand by that. Planet is flat.
If it's not flat, it's why flat are we falling off?
It's flat in a circular motion.
What?
That makes no sense. Yeah.
What does that mean? Are we on a record player right now? Can we stop it?
That's what the Earth is. It's a record player.
What's the record? But the record's on a player in that instance, though. What's the record player? If the world's
the record,
record
player is the universe, and we're just on the universe is our record player.
That's either the most beautiful or the stupidest piece of bleep I've literally ever heard.
I think it's a little bit of both, and that's what makes it glorious.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Beards, I know I just told you that we were going to play these two Brett Veach audio clips.
Yeah?
I just don't have the stomach for it right now.
That's okay.
I cannot talk. I eventually want to give proper conversation time to Brett Veach doing this draft a little bit differently, and I'm excited for that. We'll have a very serious draft conversation in 30 minutes with our friend Matt Verderam of FanSided. Get to break some stuff down with him, work through some of these picks. Maybe after we talk to him, we'll get through some other pieces of audio, and then we end the show as we do every Friday, most Fridays. Sometimes bleep happens. Most Fridays with Mick Schaefer of 41 Action News. We'll have two guests tonight, per usual. And also, this is a tease for next week. But Rudy and I think, have a total of like
seven
Top Shot packs that we'll have for sometime next week.
Yep.
Good lord.
Yeah, well, we've been, they've had a series of base packs that you can like pre-order and you're guaranteed to get, which is the only type of pack that I have gotten, with the exception of one. I'm only here for the ones that I'm guaranteed to get. My luck has been terrible. Rudy has all of those plus an actually interesting one. But we'll be able to open those on the show and hopefully move through them pretty quickly, because we'll be able to look at the serial number pretty quick and find out if it's a consistent circulation one or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then that one is worth $2, and anything beyond that we'll look up. And well, we'll just have a big Top Shot segment at some point, probably early next week. We might even do it on Monday. We'll see how the weekend goes, if we get any great sports news, if the Chiefs bring back Bashaud Breland or something. But
it'll be fun.
Still holding out hope, huh?
Yeah, I am. I just don't think this is weird that Beards is sort of nudging me to a sports topic.
Yeah.
But I just don't think
you've just talked about it so much and it still hasn't happened.
No, I know, and they haven't signed a legit edge, and they haven't signed a veteran corner yet. And Breland just makes so much sense to me. But, you know, Matt Derrick came on Monday and told us that there was a 1% chance it would happen. I'll see what Verderam thinks in 25 minutes and see if we get a percentage from him. I don't know where his head is at all there. Most recently from Nate Taylor, he said that it was like the door was open, but there was nothing imminent. So I guess whatever you got, like, I'll take it. But at this point, man, the depth at corner would just change. The cornerback position would change fundamentally with Breland on the roster, because all of a sudden, instead of going from needing Legarius Sneed to be your number one corner, here's what you need if you don't have Bashaud Breland, okay? Thank you, Beards, for shoving me straight into a sports topic.
You're welcome.
This one felt more organic, so I feel like I've got more energy for it. If you do not have Bashaud Breland, here's what you've got this year, and here's what you need this year. You need Legarius Sneed, a fourth-round pick who did not play a full season because of injury, right?
Yeah.
Freak collarbone issue. I'm not saying that's really my concern, but you need him to both stay healthy and perform at the level that he did last year. I'm very optimistic about Legarius Sneed, but corner is such a volatile position that it's always a dangerous bet. But I like Legarius Sneed a lot. But you need him to basically be a number one corner in his second year. You need Charvarius Ward to really play more like he did in 2019 than in 2020, but you need to get the best out of Charvarius Ward, which the best of Charvarius Ward is a number two NFL corner. I think that's legitimate. But you need Sneed to be your number one, and you need Ward to have that number two corner performance for an entire season consistently. Also, you need him to stay healthy. Then you need Rashad Fenton, former sixth-round pick, who I do think is a good football player. You need him to stay healthy and perform as an NFL-caliber slot corner that doesn't force Tyrann Mathieu into that role for an entire season. And that's just a very difficult thing to do. We're also talking about teams playing an extra game this year, which I don't think anyone's really been talking about from like an injury perspective, but that matters. You just have an extra chance for something bad to happen. And you already have so much injury luck having such a role on every season going into a year. You need all of those guys to perform at their best and to stay healthy, because behind them, I'm optimistic about DeAndre Baker also, but he broke his leg in week 17. I don't know what he's got to give. You can be optimistic about Bo Pete Keys if you want. He was a seventh-round pick who I just don't know yet. We just don't know. If it works out, great, and if it doesn't, I'm not going to be surprised. He's a seventh-round pick, fine. If you add Bashaud Breland to the top of your depth chart, which is always something that I am excited about doing, it knocks everybody down a peg. It adds an entire person to your safety net, and all of your various combinations, it's so much easier to cover up for any of those one guys not reaching their potential or not even hitting their ceiling. If Sneed takes a little bit of a step back, but you bring back Breland, it's all right. Keep him in the slot. Weaponize him. Let Spags use him as a blitzer. I think that's a blast. Keep him there. Use that. Fine and dandy. And maybe he's not quite what he was last year, but you still have him making some nice plays. He's still on the contract of the second year of a fourth-round draft pick. Fantastic. Maybe Charvarius Ward takes another little step back or just doesn't really step up. That's okay. You're not relying on him to be your clear-cut guy there. I still like Sneed in the slot if you have Breland back. But now you really have Ward taking on that team's worst outside receiver, or even if he's just stuck on one side of the field, this is more likely. That's something that you can plan around. You can have Juan Thornhill working in that direction, or Tyrann Mathieu for that matter. If you have those guys, then what if Rashad Fenton doesn't end up taking another step? No worries. He's your fourth corner now. And if something happens, then you still think he can step into the slot and play there pretty well, as he's done so far. Then Sneed could move to the outside to step in for Ward or Breland if there's an injury or a suspension or a deep underperformance. You just get so many more options back. You get better at the top, because Breland's been very good here in Kansas City. You get better at the top, and you get deeper throughout the depth chart. I don't know why anyone wouldn't want that for the Chiefs at this point, but as Beards points out, I've been talking about it for so long. I thought it would happen early in free agency. I thought it would happen before the draft. I thought it would happen immediately after the draft, and still, here we are.
And there's also a thing, like, but Shaud Breeland's the corner that makes the most sense because of the fact that he knows the system. Like, he's been here. You're not... Not that other, like another veteran corner, like Richard Sherman's not going to be a Chief. I'm just going to use his name because he's just a veteran corner on the free agent market. Richard Sherman, I'm confident, could step in the Chiefs defense and play very well. Like, he's a talented player. But the benefit of a guy like Bashaud Breeland is the fact that he knows the defense. And the reality is, you corner is one of those positions. Think about it like, you know, let's go a little cross sports, like baseball. Mm-hmm. You never have too much pitching. You can never have too many corners. Like, there's nothing wrong with adding another corner. The Chiefs' cornerback class or crew could be really good without Bashaud Breeland this year. It could be fine. You know what I mean? But, like, there's not, like, why not add another guy? Because, like, it just adds you, it gives you that safety net that if somebody struggles, because Rashad Fenton's played really well in the slot when he's asked to. We've never seen him do it for a full season. And that's not his fault. He hasn't been asked to do it, right? But there's question marks there. Legarius Sneed just finished up a rookie season in which, you know, he wasn't a full-time outside guy or even really an inside guy. Like, there are still question marks about that group. As optimistic as anybody can be, and I'm pretty optimistic about it because I think they're all pretty talented players. I think they're all good. But, like, Bashaud Breeland just gives you that, like you said, that safety net that, like, and not that, like, there's a lot of people, like, clamoring, like, oh, it'd be dumb to go sign Bashaud Breeland. But, like, it just... If you're on the edge,
all the sense in the world.
On the ledge, I said edge. I guess edge kind of works. It makes all the sense in the world.
Here's something very different, but is sportsy. Did you guys, if you did see, don't say the answer.
Okay.
I'm imagining at least one of you has not seen this.
Is it me?
Probably.
At least you.
I'm curious to see where you're going because I might know.
Is it about Kumar Rocker?
Yes.
Who?
Okay, so I was going to say is I bet that Beards doesn't know who this is.
I thought about bringing this up, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get us off track. I'm going to stick with the football.
We're just kind of flowing right now. Yeah. We talked about boxing, Bashaud Breeland. I said, some baseball.
You're bringing it in at a good time because I said my thing, right? Like, we wrapped up the subject.
It's just a good flow now. So Kumar Rocker, Beards, is a pitcher for Vanderbilt.
Yes.
College pitcher.
Okay, yeah. I think I might have just seen this then.
Mother effer. Well,
I'll remember?
Make,
ask
I'll
him.
Make the...
I'm curious to see if he'll still remember that.
I'm not going
to
ask him this a question. I'm going to make an announcement.
Ask him the question. Beards.
What? Yeah.
What is it about Kumar Rocker?
How many strikeouts does Kumar Rockers have through three innings?
Did you make him Kumar Rockers?
Isn't it Kumar Rockers?
No, it's singular.
Oh, is it just singular? Okay.
It's Kumar Rocker. It's Kumar's Rocker.
Through three innings.
It's Kumar Rocker.
Through three
There's no S's anywhere in his name. Maybe his middle name? Hold on, let's look and see.
I know a lot of Ruckers and Rockers. I grew up with a bunch of Ruckers and Rockers. Funny part of the same family, Ruckers and Rockers are all related. But like,
go rock yourself.
There was a feud like 50 years ago, so half the family says Ruckers, half the family says Rockers.
How many strikeouts does he have through three innings?
Yes.
Okay, Beards, hold on 1 second. Don't turn off. Take off your headphones. I want to say something to Rudy. Leave your mic on.
Okay.
So here's what I'm thinking. Yeah. He might do the bit.
Probably.
Where he guesses. Can you hear me, Beards?
A crazy number.
Where he guesses. I think he might do the bit where he guesses too high and ends up nailing it, which would really be unfortunate.
Right. Oh.
All right, Beards, you're good.
All right. Okay.
How many strikeouts for Vanderbilt does Kumar Rocker have through three innings?
Rocker,
or had through
his
innings?
Friends call him.
No. How many strikeouts does he have through three innings?
He's probably got at least like three, right?
I am curious, though. Give me a serious answer. Do you know?
I did see.
Okay.
Kumar Rocker has 10 strikeouts through three innings.
How does that work, Josh?
I'm not watching the game, but it had to be a drop third strike,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it'd be a drop third strike, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
He's faced 10 batters in three innings, and he struck out all 10.
It's pretty good to have 10 strikeouts in three innings. Yeah. Apparently, he's already at 250 career strikeouts also, which is nonsense.
What's crazy is he might not be the best pitcher on his own team because Jack Leiter has had – I think Jack Leiter has been like – his went into the ninth inning, I think, twice this year with a no-hitter.
I feel like I should know this. I think there's probably an answer that I I'm supposed to know. And maybe this is also just a pitching thing, but how did both of those dudes end up actually going to college?
So Vanderbilt's a weird situation where, like,
they're a minor league organization.
They, for whatever reason, they are able to convince guys to actually come to college. There have been other talented players like Jack Leiter, and I imagine, I don't know a ton about Kumar Rocker in terms of where he was in high school. Jack Leiter was a very talented high school pitcher, obviously go to Vanderbilt, but like he has legitimately upped his value to a whole nother degree this year, right?
Right.
Like there was a clear difference between those two, and now he has closed that gap. But Vanderbilt, for whatever reason, it's why whenever a player commits to Vanderbilt, baseball teams are a little bit they're a little wary of drafting Vanderbilt commits high, because of how hard it is to get those guys to actually come to sign with them, which you would hear that and be like, oh, that sounds insane, right? If you're a first, second round pick. Here's the thing. Vanderbilt one has a track record of actually producing high draft picks. But this is the difference between baseball and every other sport. If you get drafted out of high school, you go pro, you spend the next 3 years living in a small town, riding on buses with subpar facilities. Especially SEC schools, and it's a lot of schools out there, not just SEC, but especially SEC, you are flying charter jets to locations. You have the best facilities. You have facilities on par with Major League Baseball teams. That's a good point. You're not making money. Your quality of life, though, is significantly better. Yeah. And Vanderbilt, I have no idea if it's, you know, hey, you get a degree from Vanderbilt. You know, I'm sure that probably doesn't hurt. I'm not for sure how they've been able to have the success they've had, because it's at an extremely high level of their ability to get guys to come to college. Like they do it, they're doing it at a rate that no other school's doing it. Because like Miami is the inverse of this, where every year Miami has like a top five recruiting class, and then none of them end up at Miami because you know they get Eric Hosmer, they get Manny Machado, they get Alex Rodriguez to commit to their schools, and then they all go pro because they're all top 20 draft picks, right? Because a lot of really good baseball players come out of Miami. So they commit to Miami, and then they go play pro baseball. So I don't know how Vanderbilt fully does it at the degree at which they do it, but it's crazy.
This might be dangerous territory for me doing the thing where I go, did you guys know this? And then you guys already said it.
Yeah.
Did you know that his
10 strikeouts through 3 innings.
Really?
Isn't that his dad's former NFL player?
And is the current defensive
I don't actually know
defensive
this.
Line coach in Philadelphia Eagles?
Okay, in Philadelphia Eagles, huh? Yeah.
When you said, did you know his dad? You know what I thought you were going to do? Did you know, because Jack Leiter's dad
is good point.
Al Leiter.
He was talking
about
Rocker.
Who was, I think, in the Hall of Fame in Major League Baseball. Al Leiter was an all-time great pitcher. So I was about to say, yes, Beers, I did. But I did not know that about Kumar Rocker.
Ta-da!
You guys want to know something else very cool? Al Leiter's a two-time All-Star, two-time World Series champion, not a Hall of Famer.
Oh, you got the hiccups again.
So
is there something wrong?
So I got the hiccups.
This is the third time.
I got the hiccups today at 5:30 p.m. I remember that because I made the joke that said, I'll be fine as long as I can get rid of these hiccups in the next 90 minutes.
And
I did for a while. And then they came back. And then I got rid of them again. And then they came back. Which is where we currently stand.
The Chiefs are going to draft a running back in the first round.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Sorry, we have a worst case scenario unfolding over on this side of the glass.
Uh-oh.
I just hiccuped.
Oh, yes.
And it wasn't audible. I don't think. But if I get the consistent hiccups,
the
show is over.
No, it'll be great.
The show's over forever.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This segment might become Rudy reading baseball names while I continue to fight the hiccups.
Colton Cowser.
Keep it moving.
Matt McLain. Not as good. Michael McGreevy. There's a lot. We got a lot of alliteration in these names. Henry Ford. Or no, it's Harry Ford. Sorry. I was going to say, coming back.
All right, I'm on WebMD.
Bubba Chandler.
Are they terminal?
Jackson Job.
Hold your breath and swallow three times. Does that mean swallow while holding your breath?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're Kay. Swallowing the hiccups.
You guys talk about whatever you want.
Hey, Beards.
Yeah.
Do you like the name Gunnar Hoglund?
It's all right.
It's a good baseball
Pretty
name.
Pretty good.
It's a good baseball name.
I can't swallow when I'm holding my breath. There's nothing to swallow.
You're swallowing it? Yeah.
There's nothing to I don't have enough liquid in my mouth.
I just did it.
Three times is tough. Your mouth gets dry.
Okay, you're right. I couldn't do it the second time.
Yeah, bleep
One
you.
One time's easy. The second time, oh no.
I'm gonna put some water in my mouth and then hold my breath and then swallow the jams.
Okay. Let's see if he can do it, people. He steps up to the plate. He's taking the drink. He's
making ugly noises with his mouth.
He's swallowing. He got it down. Second time. Third time. I think we're good.
Final verdict? What?
Are you gonna
talk?
I thought we were doing the bit, like, seeing to see if you hiccup.
I mean, we were, but I needed you guys to fill dead air because I was holding my breath. I was waving my hands like this because I was hoping that one of you would say some words to fill the air time.
But what if we talked over the hiccup?
What did you say, Beards?
It's not what he's paid for.
What are you paid for? In the most specific terms, can you describe your job back to me so I can keep detailed notes about how your hours are being spent?
Like in the office.
Let's see.
You're Pamela.
I'm trying to figure out how much time we have before the break so I can tell you how much time we have before the break because that's one of the things I have to do.
Being asked to write down what Michael's doing. One of them's Cosby jokes.
About 3 minutes left in the segment here.
I'm like breathing kind of shallowly right now. Daniel, a famous the soccer player, Daniel Shallowy. I'm breathing kind of shallowly
That's
right now.
That's one of the other things I do is boo you for bad puns. That's part of what I'm paid for.
Because I'm afraid that if I stop focusing on my breathing, yeah. I'm going to fall into the hiccup trap again.
Yeah.
But I think that either the hold your breath and swallow three times with water in your mouth may have worked, or the mind-melting rage that I felt as both of you sat there for a full 10 seconds waiting for me to make a noise, but I clearly was incapable of doing so.
Yeah.
Either the swallowing or the screaming, I think, did it for me.
I have actually been scared. Like, I had hiccups once that wouldn't go
away. By
the
way, we have 2 minutes left.
And been scared.
Is that your job, interrupting me?
Yeah.
What does Rudy get paid for, then?
To where I actually, like, lost the hiccups. I get paid for a lot of things. Like to inform you that we can now reserve a spot for base set 34 for NBA Top Shot. So we can get another pack.
All right. Thank you. That one, you know what? That's useful.
You're welcome. Beards.
Yeah.
You don't even have to do anything. You just click reserve. You don't have to sit in line.
No, but I need money.
It's $9, Beards. I got my pack, by the way.
It says I'm in line. It says I'm waiting. So I think it's going to refresh for me in a minute. Oh, there it goes.
May 14th is when we have base set 34. Gonna reserve my spot now.
Can you do that already?
Yep, my pack is reserved.
I'm gonna open mine first. How long do I have to possibly reserve that one?
May 12th. Reserve between now and 9 a.m. Pacific.
We'll circle back
PDT.
Then.
I don't know what the D extra stands for. Pacific what time?
Daylight?
Daylight time, yes. On Wednesday, May 12th.
I guess, access
to
probably.
Base. It is daylight. Right? Yeah. It's daylight and standard. For access to a base set pack drop on May 14th.
I'm still not 100. I know this is as someone that has now spent like $40 on Top Shot.
Uh-huh.
I'm not fully in on it still.
It's fun.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's real. You know?
It's not real, but it's fun.
It's definitely not real.
No, but most things, the good things in life are almost never real, Josh.
Like what, Rudy?
Take it.
Love,
happiness,
joy, NFTs,
smiles,
cures for the hiccups, good radio producers,
good radio segments,
good radio.
10 seconds.
Almost entirely a good show.
The talkback button, I guess. What is real is Matt Verderam of FanSided. He'll join us next.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.